Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Coming to you live from the Kia Studios, 20 minutes away from big deal, small deal, no deal. Get back to the trending topics of the day at 1, and Jason Longshore going to come in studio in the 1 o'clock hour as well, get us ready for the Campeones Cup tonight, right here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. What's that?
How do you say it again? Campeones.
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 Campeones. Yeah, he'll help us with our Spanish.
Yeah, Campeones.
Before we do any of that, though, Seth Emerson, nice enough to join us to talk some UGA. I don't think we need to speak any Spanish to talk. Although, Rodrigo Blankenship, he probably speaks some Spanish. Well, we may talk about him with Seth Emerson, but there's a lot to get into with Seth. Hey, Seth, thanks for joining us today.
I think Rodrigo might know some Portuguese, actually. I think his mother is from Brazil, if I'm remembering correctly.
See? You can count on Seth.
You count on Seth
for the
to get us right.
Information on all of the players. Hey, Seth, you wrote a great article yesterday, and the headline was, after Kirby Smart's roster rejuvenation, has Georgia finally closed the depth chart gap with Alabama? Do you think that they have?
I think there's a lot of evidence that they have. We won't know for sure until, I guess, they play on the field, which a lot of people presume they will again. But it's something that is underplayed a little bit in that in 2017, in the national championship game, Georgia went into that game in really good shape injury-wise. They didn't suffer a lot of injuries that season. And as the game went on, one of the many reasons, I mean, Tua was the main one, but another reason that I think Alabama won that game and was able to come back was they were deeper. Now, last year, Georgia getting a little bit closer, and there were other reasons, but Alabama was still deeper. This year, we don't know what kind of injuries each team will have along the way, how things will play out, whether there will be more attrition, like we saw with Georgia and Brenton Cox. But I think Georgia stands a better chance this year to withstand some injuries and to hang with Alabama throughout a game and really hang with anybody.
Well, Seth, I want to go to the running back room real quick because I think Swifty, he is unquestionably the starting tailback. He is going to get the bulk load of the carries for this squad this year. But what do you think the role for Zamir White will be? Because from everything you read and from what people are telling you, he is looking like a monster during summer camp so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a real chance that they're 1A and 1B, the way that Chubb and Michelle were and the way Swift and Holyfield were. That's the MO for this offense and for this staff. And why wouldn't you? Why would you want to be dependent on just one running back? I think that even if Zamir White weren't part of the equation, Brian Herrien, James Cook, Kenny McIntosh, the freshman, those guys would be getting carries this year too. But Zamir White being healthy, if he's really as healthy as everyone's saying, if he has that confidence in his knee, I think he's going to be a big factor this year. I still would guess Swift is the leading ball carrier, leading rusher, but White's going to be right there, especially as the season goes on.
James Cook, what do you think his role will be?
Well, I think he and Herrien, I kind of put them in the I don't know if Cook will be a volume guy.
Right.
I think he's dangerous enough that you work him in. Maybe you get him involved in the passing game a little bit. And, you know, maybe he ends up getting some early carries just to mix it up. I mean, Kirby Smart has said they want to get the ball in his hands, but at the detriment of what? Whenever Kirby or any coach tends to say something like that we've got to figure out a way to get the ball in his hands, they're saying that because the guys ahead of him are going to make it hard to take off the field too, which means that there are still guys ahead of James Cook.
Seth Emerson joining us, talking some UGA football here. One of the names that we've heard a lot about this summer, obviously, is Demetrius Robertson. I mean, he was on the team last year, didn't have the role that maybe some folks thought he might have. Are you getting a sense that he's going to have a significantly bigger role this year?
I want to see it to believe it when it comes to significantly better role. I think right now he's the starting slot receiver, and the outside guys are right now, if the season started, probably Tyler Simmons and either Matt Landers or Lawrence Cager. But I roll all these receivers into tiers right now, and the first tier isn't that strong, but the second tier is pretty good for a second tier. So basically it's all one tier, and I think Robertson's in there with everybody. I can't tell you right now who will be this team's leading wide receiver. If I had to guess on who the leading receiver is going to be, I'd say like probably Charlie Warner, because of the depth behind him at tight end.
Right.
But at wide receiver, that's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. Holloman getting dismissed really jumbled things up, because the one thing you knew was that he was going to be the guy that in a pinch Jake Fromm was going to look to, because they had that rapport over the last couple years, and he had that, you know, he just had that number one receiver, whether it's possession receiver, but also ability to get downfield, that feel for it. Right now they've got the potential in guys like Pickens and Blaylock, but you don't know it until they have some time and they prove themselves.
Speaking of those tight ends, you wrote another excellent article about the tight ends, and particularly you mentioned the old beat down, broken down tight end that used to play there, and he greatly appreciates it. But what would be the role of those guys this year? Because they've had talent there. They just have not seemed to put an emphasis on throwing them the football.
I think I mentioned you first in that sentence.
You did, actually.
Hey, Seth, we were guessing as to why. Why did you list Randy's name first? Because Randy has a theory. Because you listed four great tight ends. Why did you list Randy first?
Oh, I don't know. I remember just sitting there writing it, and just Randy was probably just the first that sprung to mind, because he was the greatest. Yeah.
Well, great.
All I can say.
Well,
great.
Well, thanks, Seth.
I was partial to Leonard Pope, because I'm kind of a South Georgia guy.
Yes.
America.
But I do appreciate that.
Yeah. What was your question, Randy?
Because of the fact that they've had so much talent in that room lately,
right.
But for some reason they have not seemed to be able to put an emphasis on getting them the ball. And now Charlie, he's been there a while. I mean, what's his name? Fitzpatrick, I like him. Eli Wolf's a guy who wasn't known for catching balls in Tennessee, but, I mean, he's a guy that has some capabilities. Is Coley going to be able to get these guys involved?
Well, I did the research, or at least my editor at The Athletic did the research, and Coley's offenses, they threw to the tight end a lot, which might have also had a lot to do with the personnel.
Yeah.
And Coley, when we talked to him, he really emphasized that, you know, you cater to your personnel. And so if they do that this year, I don't know that they do throw to the tight ends that much. I think, like I said, Warner would probably get a lot of touches and a lot of targets because he's got so little proven experience behind him. And I do think Fitzpatrick has the potential to be a pretty good tight end down the road, but he's inexperienced. Like you said, Eli Wolf wasn't really known as a guy that was targeted a lot at Tennessee. And then they've got two true freshmen who have been kind of banged up. So if you're playing to your personnel, I think you're probably throwing a lot more to those wide receivers. Mm-hmm. As unproven as they are, there's a lot of talent there. I do think Charlie Warner will be involved a lot, but I'd be surprised if John Fitzpatrick ends up with more than 10 catches this year, or if anybody else does. So, I think people love the idea of throwing to the tight ends, but I think people love the idea of having the tight ends that they had in the days of yore.
Right.
Randy McMichael, the Leonard Popes, even Orson Charles. They haven't quite had that. Now, Isaac Nauta was really good, but you know, he wasn't that 6'5", 6'6" target. And the other thing is the tight end position has changed so much. Like I put in the story, and I know, Randy, you've observed this too, tight end has become the fullback.
Right.
Where I did this big story at The Athletic this year, this summer. If no one's read it, please do look it up. But it's basically about the disappearance of the fullback. And it's not just at Georgia, but nationally, but especially at Georgia. They don't have fullbacks anymore. You know who the fullbacks are? The tight end.
Which is weird because they want to be a run team.
Yeah, but what their philosophy on that is, why put a tight end and a fullback on the field when you could just have a tight end and he can do both jobs? So what that means is, as a tight end, you're having a lot more run-blocking responsibilities, which means that they don't target you as much because they're putting that on you, and they're also asking you to block for the wide receivers on the pass plays.
Seth Emerson joining us here, talking some Georgia football on the WadeFord.com hotline. Seth, obviously a couple guys are not going to be on the team. We've talked briefly about Brenton Cox, J.J. Holloman as well. The reaction to that, at least from the people that we talked to, is pretty calm. Everyone's, there's a lot of depth behind them. Everything will be okay. Which of those two guys do you think is going to be more difficult to replace?
You know, I was a little bit taken aback by the amount of Georgia fans who, when Holloman was dismissed, just kind of said, I'm not worried about this. I thought it was something to worry about because as talented as they are at wide receiver, and I do think they are, receivers, you know, when you're inexperienced, you still don't know how good they're going to block. You don't know how good they're going to run their routes. You don't know whether they'll make that key third down catch. And as Gary Danielson told me when I talked to him, and this is someone who's been an analyst for years and was a quarterback, you know, that inexperience sometimes can come out in key critical situations. And what are you as a wide receiver? You're making a play at the end of the play almost every time. And so that becomes a spot of worry. Whereas anybody, if there were Georgia fans that were worrying about Brenton Cox, I kind of told him, number one, I don't think he was the starter anymore. Jeremiah Holloman was going to be the starter. He's going to be the number one wide receiver. Brenton Cox wasn't the starter anymore. Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson and Azeez Ojulari had all surpassed him. And at outside linebacker, sometimes they have two outside linebackers on the field, but more often it's just one because they're a nickel. Even that's something Kirby pointed out this past weekend. And so they still have six guys. So Brenton Cox, if he was fourth in the pecking order, you could argue was almost like fourth string. So I think I worry for Georgia more about Holloman than Cox. They've also had a little bit more time to absorb the loss of Holloman and move on.
Seth, great stuff, man.
Always, man.
Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Seth.
No problem.
Take care.
Anytime.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.